And as I gave it and went to merge, my front tyre popped. When I landed on the ground, I heard something crack. I thought it was my lunchbox. I went to get up quickly. Man, I couldn't move. Wow. And then I started to get sleepy. And I just looked up to the sky and I could see the blue sky and the sun. Wallah, my eyes started to sleep. Someone had taken a photo of me on the ground in the accident doing shahada and that went viral.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم Welcome to another episode of the Safi Bros podcast If you are watching on YouTube please please subscribe as it helps us to get more content out to get also get you to watch it on time inshallah and also if you are listening on our audio channels please 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 subscribe to that as well so we can also get more content out and get amazing speakers like the brother we have today. Assalamu alaikum, the Aussie Mammoth. This brother does not need any introduction. He's mashallah, 1.3 million followers. Last time we were together, we were sitting at 1.1. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, today is the third episode that we're doing with the brother and it's going to be an amazing discussion about a day in the life of the Aussie Mammoth, the Muslim undertaker. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Welcome back.
For all the listeners out there and watchers, it's Ramadan, so we're all drained. Yes. So if you don't see us bouncing, it's not because I don't like the boys in front of me or I'm upset or anyone's upset me. It's because we're drained and it's been a long day.
It has been a long day, mashallah.
6 hours to go and it's 2:15 in the afternoon and it's 35 degrees out there. But alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. We are very blessed to have you there, mashallah. It was a bit of a 2-hour drive to get you here.
But you chose.
I was willing to do the hard yards and the 2-hour drive afterwards as well.
You know when you said 1.2 million followers, 1.3 million, whatever. I was talking about it yesterday. I was thinking to myself, I said, you know who's got the most followers in the world?
Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi
Wasallam. That's right. But who's got the most followers also after the Prophet? Like we know the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's got 1.8 billion followers.
Isa Alaihi Wasallam.
No. Who's got the most followers like...
On your social media, I mean?
Like in the world, like
Mufti Mink.
No. Who? If the Shaitan had an Instagram account,
Wallah, he would.
He'd have 6.8 billion followers because the other ones that don't follow the good are following the Shaitan. So I was just talking.
Hey, man, he's got some accounts. Don't worry about that.
He has some accounts. Some accounts.
I think the biggest trick he's given humanity is he's given them the belief that he doesn't exist. So they're following him, but they don't know they're following subhanAllah.
He exists.
Ameen, ameen. Alhamdulillah. So tell us, bro. Undoubtedly, there's been a lot of change since you've, came here on the last time on the podcast with us, alhamdulillah. I remember.
Touch base on what happened with the bike accident, how that changed you.
Well, a lot of things changed us, but yeah, bike accidents, one of those can probably be written in the later chapter of my life as a life changer. Any accident, any big trauma in life, any big catastrophe, calamity will, if I think the ones who reflect and ponder on in life a lot would take it as a change. You know, some people are very heedless in life and they go for a lot of problems and they get worse.
Take us through what happened. Take us through what happened.
It was a very busy week. I was very, very under the pump with funerals and all that. And usually every 8 to 9 weeks, I go to my specialist in the city to get my kidneys checked out because I've done a kidney transplant, so it's a follow-up. And that particular appointment, I said, I want to go on the motorbike. So I would go every 8 weeks on the motorbike to the city. First of all, it's in the morning, so you can't speed, and I can get back quick enough to do my funerals. So I'm trying to do my funerals. Obviously, funerals are my foremost thing. So my appointment's always 8:30 in the morning because washing is not till 10:30. Got up that morning, done my cardio, subhanAllah, done my athkar, everything felt perfect. I felt, you know what, I'm on top of things again. Done my askar, and my wife said to me, I'll take you, don't worry, I'll take you, I'll wait in the car, and you go upstairs, do your checkup, and come down, and that's it, you know. I said, look at that, I said, I'm going on the bike, you know, I need to row it. So got on the road trail bike, it's only a 250, it's not even a speedster, subhanAllah, got on there. And took off, and whenever I ride the bike, I would read my Quran, I do Muraja'ah. So I remember I started from Surah Al-Mulk, and I read that, and then when I got to the entry of the freeway, it was about, 15 minutes from my house, on the lights, when I stood on the lights to turn onto the on-ramp of the freeway, I started Surah Al-Mulk, Surah Al-Naba'. And I remember saying, عَمَّ يَتَسَأَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَأِ الْعَظِيمِ. Light turned green. I took off first. There's two lanes that turn right to get onto the freeway. And I had to beat the cars in front of me to because it merges. The left lane merges. And you're a bike. You can beat them. And as I gave it and went to merge, my front tyre popped.
Wow.
Came off the rim. Wow. And this is a brand new bike. And subhanAllah, عَمَّ يَتَسَأَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَأِ الْعَظِيمِ الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَأَ.
Allah. And so remember
that part. I remember a motorbike coming out of nowhere, one of these big cruiser Harleys, these big bikes, like almost half a car, came out of nowhere on my right and I hit him.
Oh, you hit a bike?
I hit a bike. I would have hit the barricades and all sorts of stuff. SubhanAllah, Allah sent him. I hit him. I remember I had a backpack on. I bounced off him and came on the ground. When I landed on the ground, I heard something crack. I thought it was my lunchbox in my backpack because I had my food in it.
Oh, wow.
So natural instinct. And I heard the guy on the bike go, I don't remember that noise, right?
Did he fall off the bike as well?
He came to a stop because such a big bike. He kind of came to a stop because he's big. I bounced off him. When I landed on the ground, natural first instinct was, yeah, like, get up. I had boots on. I had all my gear on. I went to get up quickly. Man, I couldn't move. So I go, you know what, man? Turn to your face. This is adrenaline. I turned around to my face trying to use my hands to pick myself up. I couldn't move.
Wow.
And then I started to get sleepy because I went back on my back and then I could hear the trucks and the cars, wheels coming past me, you know, and then they stopped the traffic and it just went quiet. And I could see boots and people standing around. And I said to these guys, I think they were Islander guys, man, tradies. I said, take my helmet off. Take my helmet off. I couldn't breathe. They took it off, and then someone goes, no, you shouldn't be doing that. I got to take it off. They ripped it off so I could breathe. And I just looked up to the sky, and I could see the blue sky and the sun. And wallah, my eyes started to sleep. And I hear people saying, don't let him sleep, don't let him sleep. But I wanted to sleep. And I started ashheading. I was making shahada, and I said to myself, it's my time. All I felt like was exactly like the ayah says, yawmun abada yawm, that I lived on this earth for a day or part of a day. I didn't think of anything that I've been through. I didn't think of family. I go, right now, that ayah, وَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ يَوْمَ حَدِيدٍ, was going to reveal upon me that today I lift your veil and your eyesight is piercing, just like steel, that I'm going to see the angels coming. And I was happy. Wallah, I was so happy. I was so content, man. And I go, the angels are coming. And I just looked up to the sky. They're coming, they're coming. And I went numb.
Numb.
Yeah. And then subhanAllah, some guy with blue eyes pops his head in front of me, hits me with some adrenaline hit into my knees or my shin. It just woke me like this. He goes, you'll be right, mate.
There
it was an ambush. Okay, you're not the angel of the angel. He goes, you'll be right, mate. And subhanAllah, bro, and it was a lot of pain. But
you broke some ribs?
I broke seven ribs, fractured my S2 vertebrae, stuffed my shoulder.
Wow.
And went to ICU. And the bed they put me in that night was the bed that Ali Farouk, Allah Yirhamu, the kid that went and followed me around for funerals when they said to him, go home, you got nothing left.
I remember watching that video, we were at the funeral together, we were at my dad's grave and you spoke to him on the video.
I spoke to him
live on the video with me and you together, I remember that day.
And I buried him the week before my accident.
SubhanAllah.
That Thursday, I had the accident on a Wednesday. I had picked him up from that hospital bed on the Wednesday night when he died.
Allah.
Bed 26 in ICU, Liverpool. I had visited him and stood. So when I was in that bed ICU looking, it had reversed the role where I would be looking. Normally that was Ali looking at us and I was standing as the patient, as the person visiting looking. And that's how I was seeing everything.
Allah.
And I was in his bed. They put me in the same bed that I took. And I said to him, this is Ali's bed. They said, how do you know Ali? I said, I buried him. I watched him. And they're freaking out. And then the news got.
Same bed.
What's the chances, huh?
Same bed, bro. Wallah, same bed. Freaky. Even the boys around me were freaking out.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And second day in ICU, after all the painkillers, I said, rip everything off. And I walked out on the Friday.
Wow.
Yeah, I said, they can't do nothing for me.
Ribs, yeah, I've broken four.
I said, just let me go home. And they said, nah. Where you going? You got to be here for 2 weeks at least. I had a flail chest, meaning you break your ribs in two spots. Oh. So you breathe out, your chest goes in, you breathe in, and that causes pneumonia. But I was I was like, I know I'm going to improve if I go home. And I remember walking out of the hospital, they wouldn't discharge me, so I walked out on my own will. And I got home and I slept on a rocking chair for 5 weeks. I'd done the tours with the Sunni guy. I did everything the second week. Like I was in so much pain.
I remember.
I never, every time I look at those images again, I just remember the pain. But I said, you know what? Allah made it easy, man, because I was so happy to go home. The day I got home on that Friday, Saturday morning, I walked down the stairs. I jumped on the recumbent bike and I started exercising.
Where do you get the energy from, bro? Where do you get this?
Positivity comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I always believe if I don't do it, no one's going to do it for me.
Allah.
I can't sit back and wait for people. Always.
Always.
Always wanted to do. I don't like waiting for people. You know, I never liked team sports because you have to rely on others. I always liked, you know, singular sports. And what I love about Islam is you're worshipping one God. Only one God's going to help you. Only Allah can help us. And that's what I love about it. All my energy is channeled into one ilah. Yeah. Other religions have other ways, but I don't have to go for anyone. I don't have to ask anyone to, you know, pray for me. I ask Allah. And I know, like anything, you want to go somewhere, if you go at 2 in the morning, it's easier to get there than going at 8 a.m., 9 a.m. peak hour.
Yeah.
So I used to always be a firm believer, get up in those hours when there's no peak hour and make your prayers because the lines are open even better. It's a clearer line.
What kind of advice can you give young 18, 20-year-olds just to have that same mindset?
Man, look.
What kind of things? Like you mentioned,
don't give up. Don't ever give up. Just you fail, get up again, try again, fail again, fail again, fail again. Who cares? There's failure is no option, but it's there. It has to be. We have to go through it to get better. Some people will tell you after the second, third game, nothing works my way. It will work your way when Allah wants it to work your way. You could later on say, this was not good for me. Thank God it didn't happen. But my advice to the young is never give up, man. Every single person that's a world champion out there or he got to where he got to, was he started like you. He was in nappies. He was breastfeeding at one stage. He couldn't put a sentence together. He learned to run. He learned to digest. He has stomach aches. You know, all the rest of it, they're humans. So you got a chance just as much as anyone else.
Can I touch, you know, when I had nearly a life-death experience, you tend to see, mashallah, a lot of brothers come and support you where you thought, hey, I didn't think I had a relationship with this person. Or did you feel that way? And the ones that you thought, hey, they didn't pick up the phone, like your close friends, like were they really your close friends? Did you have that?
Not really. In my case, I think because of all the social media and that, and someone had taken a photo of me on the ground in the accident doing shahede, and that went viral. That's how my wife knew I had an accident, because someone rang my son and told him, your dad's on the ground. Actually, the police that came knew me, and they rang my dad and my son, because one of them was my son's mate, and said, your dad's been in an accident, motorbike accident. And then the pictures went all over the place, me on the ground, and they said the undertaker's, you know, going to be undertaken, and people saying, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Like, people are just humans, man.
Yeah.
And it went viral. But I didn't get on the phones for a few days, like, obviously. But the amount of people coming to visit, that security had to be put. And basically, a list got put with only 10 names on it. And they were my family members that could come in. And people were, like, all waiting outside. And everyone was like, who's here? Because the ICU waiting room was full. And they just turned everyone around off. Like, they said, no, sorry, can't see him. And then when I did get around to messages and social media messages, there was thousands and thousands. Even after it, when I got to travel and go places, even yesterday, like at the events, people asking me, brother, how's your health now? How are you after the accident? We were praying for you. And then people telling me from around the world, we were praying for you. My mum was praying for you from Turkey. My dad was praying for you from Morocco. So I thought to myself, I didn't get better because of my own will. I didn't get better because I wanted to get better. I got better because Allah alam which du'a out there. Allah, stajab. Wallah, this is how I put it down. I walked out of a place, they said, you won't walk. You're not going home. And when I walked out 2.5 days later, and the nurses who were there all saw me, because I had doctors coming up to come and talk to me, the Muslim doctors that know me.
Oh, wow.
Like people coming, man, Ahmed Arachi's here, the undertaker's here, to meet me. You know, and then when I walked out of there, they were like, you don't know this guy. People were like, you don't know this guy. He's been through the unbelievable in life. This doesn't, this doesn't even faze him.
No, you know.
So alhamdulillah, man. May Allah keep us that way, you know.
Allah week.
Wasn't my time.
I mean, subhanAllah, yeah. But it changed you, didn't it? Really, it did. I noticed like the difference.
I won't ride a motorbike ever again. Because I'll tell you what happened. When the ambulance driver were putting me onto from the ground, and that was killed me when they moved me onto a bed, all I could think about, who's going to wash the two deceased that had no family? That day I had two deceased. Both were destitute graves, and I love them. I look forward to them because they're like the ones that are going to be witnesses for me on the day of judgment because they have nobody.
Wow.
And I'm thinking myself, who's going to wash them? All I care about, who's going to wash them now? So I said to the ambo driver, get the phone out of my pocket. So behind my pocket, my car goes, my phone was all right. It didn't get wrecked. I said, put the PIN number in. I said, go to contacts, put AJ, call it. And I'm on all these painkillers. They're giving me the and morphine straight away, this, that. And I said, tell him I've had an accident to go wash the dead. He's like, well, wash the dead. And this guy goes, he's the undertaker. So he'd done what I said to him. I could hear him. I could hear what's going on.
Wow.
Yeah. And as long as when Ahmed came and visited me in hospital after it, he was crying in there. He said, is that all you care about is the washing of the dead? I said, yeah, man. I said, that's my job. Until I've my last breath, it's my concern. Until
it's an amen, isn't it?
It's an amen. Could you imagine they didn't get washed because I had an accident? And I actually thought I'd be the third one in that cool room with them. That's how I thought to myself. And what went through my mind was because I go to the coroner heaps and I know the girls at the coroner and everyone knows you. And I always laugh with them. I said, when I come in, make sure you don't expose me, huh? And get me out quick, huh? Don't pervert me. And the girls. And I thought to myself, subhanAllah, if I was at the coroner, they'd be freaking out. That was me. Like, you'll touch people's lives, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
All of it is irrelevant in the sense of, you know.
Amazing.
Have you made it?
But I've noticed since the accident, you've been more active, mashallah. You've capitalised on your time.
I felt like I almost ran out of time quickly. So I said, you know what, bro, I've been given another chance. Go for more.
Mashallah.
Go harder on the din. Go harder on, you know, nothing is from us, Ahmed and Ibo, Ibrahim. Nothing comes from us, bro. Our ideas, our videos, people say to me, your video touched me. I said, but it's not me that touched you. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the rahmah to you because we're only tools for what we do. But when I make these videos, I don't even know what I'm going to say. Yesterday at the PGCC dinner, I got up, I didn't even know what to say. I always don't ever write a speech out, but I just talk from my heart. And all my videos, all my messages, and people tell me, man, your messages make me cry. They make their hairs stand up. I say, because they're from the heart. If all of us applied talking from our hearts, how good would this world be? How pure would it be?
I want to touch on it, but obviously now you're starting to, mashallah, go international and things like that. Mashallah, alhamdulillah, we've known you for a good couple of years now, mashallah. Yeah. And
I met you at a funeral.
May Allah keep us sincere and keep our intentions for His sake.
Amen.
That world of celebrity status, I know you, mashallah, you manage it very well. Being around those kind of people and that, you get to see things that,
upset me sometimes.
Upset you when
I see reality. I see
things. How do you manage that?
I've always been, all my life, obviously, around limelight, working with, in the bodybuilding scene, being with Arnold, doing commercials, doing stuff on parts in movies. You've always been in that scene, but not in the Islamic side.
Mm.
What hurt me was when I see people on the Islamic Dawah side who aren't what they are. Yeah. The agendas are different. And that hurts me because Islam is supposed to be what's in their heart, in and out.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, wow, that they're accountable for what they're going to do. But at the same time, I say everyone's going to go in their own grave. And I find it so easy. Yesterday flying in, they go to me, Ice Cube was in the next to you. I'm like, who's Ice Cube? And they go, that rapper guy, this, that. So anyway, I get off the plane, and he was. There was the boys all sitting, the whole group of them was sitting next to us. And I'm thinking, who are these guys, man? They look like just Americans here for basketball or something maybe.
Mm.
And when I got off the plane, there was little kids holding NWA. And I remember NWA growing up with that attitude with attitude, whatever it is. And then I saw the brother who's picking me up saying, that's Ice Cube. You want a photo with him? And when he said, that's Ice Cube, I said, who's that? Is that the guy from Boys to Men? And then I remember their security guard or these dudes with him looking at me in a way like they want to kill me. And he goes, no, Boys in the Hood. I go, yeah, that was the only movie I remember. That was a good movie. And that's, you're talking 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then He goes,
he's Muslim, apparently.
Yeah, well, I asked him, he goes, he said, Salaam alaikum. You know, and then he said, you want to take a photo with him? I said, nah, man, let's go. Like, and like, they heard me say, nah, man, let's go. It's like, who's this guy? When you're on the level with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't care about any of these people. These people don't faze me. So when you say you're among celebrities and all that, they don't faze me, brother. At the end of the day, I want to be amongst the righteous. Because what's our da'a? To be amongst the siddiqeen, muhsineen, mu'mineen, anbiya.
Amen.
The highest of highest. They're the Amen. Ones I want to be on. And that could be some young guy who's revising the Quran, the corner of the Quran, who's a nobody.
Amen.
Has one or two followers. Amen. And follows a million people himself. Amen. That could be the person who I want to be amongst. So when you tell me celebrities, no one's a celebrity, brother. You're a celebrity when you're a celebrity with Allah. And how do you become a celebrity with Allah? By being named by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the ones, the angels to love you, yeah. the people to love you. Amen. Then you're named. Then by, you make me cry again, bro. The ones that get up and pray at night are named, called. Not the guys who, I don't even want to talk about them, bro. They don't deserve the airtime. We're on a short time anyway.
We are rushing today, 100%.
Allah bless you,
bro. Great advice. I mean, Allah bless you. So we want to really take you through a day because, subhanAllah, even today,
yeah.
I was with you driving down here and, subhanAllah, I had a phone call.
Non-stop.
Your phone call stopped, you know, what should I do? Should I turn off the machine? Should I turn off the machine? MashaAllah, right? Like, I've had the privilege of spending a bit of time with you, even when we were sitting, yeah. you know, when we went to see my dad's grave. You had like three phone calls. This guy's passed away. What should I do? Like, it doesn't stop, mashallah. Like, I know sometimes we want to spend some quality time together, and mashallah, your phone, Allah Habbarik, it just doesn't stop out of the work that you do in the community.
So take us through a day in Sydney. So take us.
My day has no structure. What time do you wake up? I wake up early every day. Obviously, we have to pray Fajr. There's no getting out of it.
So you don't go back to bed?
I don't go to bed. And I usually keep Fajr to the latest time I can pray it. Because if it's, you know, if I got to a 5:15, 5:30, I'll pray it to a 5:15, 5:30, not at 4:30. Because I'll stay up after it. So I'll pray my Fajr, I'll do my Askar, I'll do my Quran revision.
Every morning?
Every morning. My Askar are the most important thing every morning because they safeguard me from, you know, the calamities.
So you've got a routine of things that you say as your Askar.
So you say your Askar, Mashallah. You say Qul huwallahu ahad, Qul a'udhu birabbin-nas, Qul a'udhu bil-falaq, and then I do my Quran, obviously the Quranly app, Wallah, it's not because... You know, I always plug it because I get something out of it, but I plug it because it is actually a Quran engaging app. It makes you engage with the Quran. It challenges you, shows you hasanat, makes you bookmark things. So every day I continue where I was reading, and what I've tried to implement is I do 10 verses with meaning. So every day minimum 10 verses with translation.
Meaning understanding what you're saying.
Understanding what I'm saying. Those 10, I have to understand what I'm saying. Then I'll read. Because obviously I did hafaz, but then I'll go back again for the next 10 the next morning. This is my routine every morning. Then I'll jump on the cardio. I do my 45 minutes to an hour cardio.
Every morning?
Every morning. Minimum 30 minutes, maximum 60.
At home or gym?
Not home. And then I head straight to the gym.
Oh, so you do cardio before you go to the gym?
So that day, washing's at 10 a.m. usually, after being in the mosque by 10 a.m. So all this is done. I'm at the gym by 8 o'clock.
Wow.
So 8 o'clock, I train till about 9:15. I have breakfast as I'm driving to the gym.
So you have breakfast after gym?
After gym. I have my egg whites, and I usually eat them while I'm driving to the mosque.
Every time you have egg whites?
Yeah, egg whites and rice cakes. That's my breakfast.
Every morning?
Every morning.
Nothing changes?
Nothing changes.
How many eggs?
I think it's 4 egg whites, 1 full yellow. I get them sponsored in packs. And then I have 6 or 7 rice cakes and half an avocado.
Every morning?
Every morning. Love all pre-made.
Wow. Routine.
It's routine. If I eat anything in front, forget it. I'm in the toilet.
Wow.
And I get to the mosque about 10 o'clock, come down, open the office room, go in, turn aircons on, turn Quran on, turn everything on. Usually family already there. Sometimes it's hectic because there's a lot of family and you're like this little guy walking in and it's like, here you are. But I've already given everyone the timetable. So the reverse back to the night before someone died, I've sent everyone a janazah announcement. From the groups, thousands on them, to the individual family members. What time washing is, the whole itinerary, what's happening.
You don't have anyone supporting you?
I've got boys that volunteer, but you know, at the end of the day, they're volunteers. Washing starts, you wash the deceased, you put him out for viewing. In between that, you're getting paperwork ready. And I'm a OCD person. Everything has to be perfect. I fix everything as much as I can around the mosque. It's a house of Allah. Get the cars out. If they need petrol, go fill them up. Come back. Get the coffins out. Get the trolley ready upstairs in the mosque. Open the doors of the mosque. Make sure aircon's running in the mosque. All that stuff.
Oh, wow.
And then I come back down and then I tell the family, say, if the hut is at 1 o'clock or 10 past 1, 12:30 or 12:45, we'll carry the mayit up.
No.
We carry the mayit up. We put him upstairs. I go back down. I lock everything up.
So how many can you do in a day?
Four, five.
Have you done 4 or 5 a day?
Yeah, I've done 5, yeah.
You've done 5? Maximum you've done a day?
Because what happens, the washing is all after each other.
Mm.
And carrying him up is all after each other.
Wow.
The hardest work is, really, it's just I start earlier. Instead of washing at 10:30, I'll start at 9.
9, okay.
Mm.
Yeah, because everything has to be done by dahr. Then all the cars, instead of one car out, 3 cars are out.
Wow.
And the drivers are allocated, and I'm one of the drivers.
So you got 3 cars there?
We've got 4 funeral cars, yeah.
Oh.
Because we've done sometimes 4 different funerals at once.
Wow.
Like locations.
Love.
So if I'm going to one location with 2 graves, 2 burials, and one car's going to, say, east side, one's going to the west side, those 2 cars, and I mark every grave, every coffin with a sticker with the name of the deceased, and I put them in a sequence with the covers. One's a dark green, one's a light green, one's black. Females, I usually put the black, and I know it all. So that when a then happens, we pray, and the deceased are at the back of the mosque, I bring them straight after the prayer. I bring them to the front. I know how to line them up. So they'll bring, I say, no, the black one first, lady first, always in, man. This one's going that car. As I carry him down, this one goes to the 4-door. This goes 2-door. This goes white car. This goes black car. This goes to the Holden. This goes to the Ford. Can't mix them, man.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And sometimes people come to me and go, no, man, you've got it wrong. I said, brother, trust me. I've got it right. Trust me. I've got the stickers. I've stickered them straight away. And then they don't trust you sometimes, so they'll open the cover, because I don't put the cover, I put just the material.
Oh, okay.
And their deceased was like a big guy. The other deceased was skinny. They go, oh, you're right, it's the right one. I said, I'll tell you what I know. It's not by the weight. It's not by the weight. Sometimes the biggest guy is the lightest.
Wallah. Yeah.
It's not by weight. I took that theory out of my life. I used to think, yeah, the big guy's going to be the heaviest. But I remember doing a funeral for a guy once who was a big guy. He drowned. And a lady, old lady who was skinny. And when we were carrying him up, I said, man, it's heavy. Because there wasn't many people to help us. And, bro, when I put him up there and I opened the covers to make sure I've lined them up, I said, the heavy one was the old lady. The light one was the man that drowned. He's a shaheed.
Allah.
He was a shaheed. He was helping someone in the water. He ended up drowning.
SubhanAllah.
So this is where I changed. I keep always open-minded in the sense that don't ever assume because he's big, he's going to be heavy.
The akhira is a different weight, isn't it?
You know, it's a different weight. A
different weight of scale.
Allah can make the biggest, the smallest deed heavy on your scales. When you're talking heavy on scales, it means the bigger, the bulkier something is going to weigh heavier.
Allah.
But look at Allah's way of doing things. So yeah, this is one, that's kind of typically part of my day.
So that's lunchtime now. What do we do for
lunchtime? I'll sneak a meal in that 5 minutes before.
All pre-prepped.
So I've eaten at 9 o'clock. Now by then it's 12:45, 1 o'clock. I try to take them up to the mosque about 5-10 minutes earlier, so I can go down, lock up, eat my meal quickly, and then go up. And I usually make it into the prayer for dhuhr. Usually right at the start of dhuhr, I pray right at the back. Yeah, I'll pray, and quickly as soon as salaam alaikum, brothers, make way for the janizah. I set up, announce it, and bang, we bring them forward, and then it's on again. Come out, boots on again, into the cars, dig, dig, dig. I make sure every car has its paperwork because there's paperwork to be given to the office. Yeah. Make sure each paperwork matches the deceased. Make sure the medical cause of death is there. Make sure the plate that we put with the deceased has the right sticker on it, has the right name. Make sure the plates that go on top of the grave after the sticker matches. All that, it's all pre-emptied, pre-organized in my head.
Wow.
Bang, 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 bang. I check everything, bro. Where's the speakers? Are the speakers in the cars? Which sheikh's going, which car? Send them all off. I take usually the hardest ones, the biggest ones. And if there's mashayikh to go for like 2-3 funerals and one hasn't, I'll do one of them, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we do it according to sunnah, meaning the rule. Look, the proper way. The proper way. Is it that camera?
Mm.
All right. Brothers and sisters, the proper way is you don't need a sheikh for your janizah.
Amen.
All right. The awla bi is the family member to pray janizah. If you know how to pray janizah, you pray the janizah for your deceased. All right. In Islam, we don't need a sheikh or someone to ask for them to chaffa for us. Doesn't work that way. All right, we ask them to make dua for us. But at the end of the day in Islam, you make dua when you want something. So I tell everyone out there, brothers, sisters, when a subhanAllah, when a deceased dies, you lead. You learn how to wash. You participate in the washing. You participate in running the janazah prayer. And at the cemetery, the sunnah is you put your deceased in the grave, obviously facing right side to the Qibla, on the right side, undo the straps, and the family members have preference, all right, precedence over to putting the deceased down.
Correct.
Unless they don't want to, someone else can. Close. They'll show you how to close the grave. Let everyone move out of the way. Three handfuls of dirt towards the hand, head. From it you are created. To it you shall return. And from it you shall be resurrected. And that's only for us, the living, to take heed that we're going back to dirt. Because any other time in our life, you throw dirt on your mum, dad, friend, it's disrespectful. When it's at that time, we're told to do it. You're throwing dirt. You're burying him now. You're throwing it like that. And subhanAllah, you move out of the way. The dirt gets backfilled. Now it's called a grave. Now it's officially a grave because it's covered. You turn, you face Kaaba, and you make dua. Because the only thing now will benefit this deceased is your dua.
What's your opinion on people that say that's not acceptable, dua, the grave, all this, the dua?
Dua is the only thing acceptable for the deceased. Because
I've been to some where they, you know.
What else can you do to the deceased? I mean, what can you pay money?
What about reading Quran? What about reading Quran?
Look, Quran, I don't want to get into the thing of it, but as far as I learned and know, it's Quran's for the living. Iman kana hayyan. The Quran is who is alive to listen and ponder about. Because the Quran is Allah's words talking to us, telling us how to live. It's the book of life. He's dead. He's not classed as the living anymore. He's classed as the dead. The Prophet said, when you're dead, die. They are no longer part of the living. Speak good of the deceased or don't mention them at all. Don't speak ill of the deceased. Don't mutilate the deceased. Don't hurt the deceased. Don't break bones of the deceased. All deceased, Muslim, non-Muslim.
Yeah.
Because they are no longer part of this world. They're not counted on this world.
I'm walking past grave sites now and you see these
Qur'ans playing.
Qur'ans playing, yeah.
Look, their
senses go off.
It's a bit bad innovation. And I'll say it straight out. First of all, it is who's a Quran playing for? The birds that are there.
There's a bang anyway.
The Quran doesn't apply. Whatever the Quran says to do in it, it doesn't apply for the deceased anymore. It applies for the living to take rules from it. Okay? It's like we have this thing in our culture. We have to pray dahar and then bury the dead. I say, who's a dahar prayer for the dead? He prayed. If he didn't pray in life, it's gone for him. Fatafi, it's finished.
Mm.
The prayer is for the living. So why are you delaying the dead when the Prophet said, don't delay the burying of the dead? Oh, no. You know?
Yeah, subhanAllah.
SubhanAllah, we get that a lot. They want to bury him on Friday if he's died on Wednesday. Wrong.
And I'm going to tell you where. You don't have to look too far. Amra, Makkah, Medina, Fajr, Dahar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha is a janazah time. There's no waiting. You die at Fajr, you're buried at Fajr. You die at Dahar, you're buried at Dahar.
It's both.
But in Australia here, all right, you die at 10 o'clock in the morning. The closest time is, 1 o'clock. All right, you wait for Dahar, it's fine. But if you died, like, if they tell you these days there's a booking system, there's a lot of funerals happening.
Yeah,
so they'll tell you sometimes, look, we can only give you 3 o'clock, for example. But he died the day before, and there's opportunity to bury him at 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. No, we wait till 3. Or we wait for the next day for Dahar.
Yeah, for Friday prayer.
Yeah. You hear that a lot.
Yeah.
Allah, yeah.
So these are kind of things that really in the industry I'm in, I really get hurt. And I tell everyone out there, and I've said it out loud at the funerals, because sometimes I go to a funeral, we've got the body near the grave, everyone's waiting, but we're waiting for one family member. And that kills me, bro, because that deceased is waiting. He just needs to go in the grave, bro. And we're waiting for one living guy who just got lost coming to the cemetery. Because he hasn't been there for 10 years. And that kills me, bro.
And
I've said it a few times out loud. I said, brothers, witness, I'm saying this. If I die, bury me in the closest available cemetery and the closest available time. This is me. Don't sit there and make a scene out of it. And bury me and don't wait for nobody. Give me two men that can carry me and not slam me in the grave and bury me. That's my instruction. And this is what I believe every single person out there needs to learn. And that's why we go back to make the dua yourselves and You know, usually they say, oh, women can't go. Women can't follow a janeza. So when the janeza is being carried, women shouldn't follow behind. Correct. But for women to go to the cemetery, women are allowed to go to the cemetery. They stay back. They stay way back. When that grave finishes and the men move away, women can come to the grave and can make da'a. They're allowed to play janeza. They're allowed to make da'a. There's nothing wrong with that. But the whole thing in Islam is the mixing.
Yeah, I agree.
And the emotions of ladies is not like the emotions of men. They're weaker. That's why we can't have ladies come up to the grave when it's a burial time.
Yeah, because their emotion takes over.
Their emotions. But these days, the cemeteries are huge. There's big car parks. They can stay far away. They're not following a janeze. Yeah. They're just parked up waiting for everything to finish. The men have to move away because condolences and whatever. The women come forward, and that's their respectful time.
I've seen so much mashekel from that perspective where men that have no relationship to these women
would say,
oh, bid'ah, what are you doing here? You shouldn't be here. And I'm like, man.
Those people, I tell them my advice is advise your own family members first, because advise yourself, because we all have shortcomings. Amen. Maybe that lady standing there will be the means of her turning back to Allah, because Allah has woken her up there.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I was just telling you before, with social media, I've had ladies follow me on accounts and I look at their profiles and they are nowhere near deen. I say, Why has she liked this video of a man making shahid as he died, or a man Amit Kaffan? Like, what's that got to do with her content? Is all worldly. Yeah. I said, I'm not the judge. Allah's the judge.
Amen.
We don't know what's in that heart.
Amen.
O turner of the hearts, turn our hearts towards you, Allah.
Well, you just remind me of a story. A brother was talking about that he was trying to convert his parents for 17 years. 17 years. He wrote a book about Islam. He got his parents to actually edit it and proof it. And they never came to Islam. After 17 years, they came to Islam. So he's asked, Mum, 17 years I've been working on. What made you change now? She said, 4 years ago in Jeddah, when I told you I seen a bad spirit, she goes, I didn't tell you. I made a big cross and I put it up hoping it would protect me. And it didn't. And I told you about it and you came and read Surat al-Fatiha and Surat al-Falak. Yeah. And she goes, I didn't tell you. After you had left, it disappeared. She said, that was the turning point for me to come into Islam.
Allahu Akbar, man. There's a lot of things. You know, I saw a video last night of a Palestinian girl in the hands of her dad trying to make shahada, and she was telling her dad, I see two angels.
Allah.
Yeah. And I watched it last night 3-4 times at 1 o'clock in the morning. I sent it to some boys. She's telling her dad, she looked about 10, 12 years old. She said, I see two angels. I see two angels. And then she said, I'm good. And then her eyes, they just followed the angels. And she went like that.
Allahu Akbar.
She's seeing it.
Allahu Akbar.
She's seeing the angels, but there's another world out there.
Ameen, ameen.
For everyone out there who thinks this world is just temporary and what you see, then you're going to get a big, big, rude wake-up call when your eyes do open up in the grave. You know, me personally, I'm a person that likes to be safe. So I'll be safe. I'll do my prayers. And I'll make sure that, what I can in this world. Amen. So I'll get the next world.
Take us now to like your after day. So after you've buried, done all this.
My biggest relief, Akhi, is the minute I buried the dead. Once that grave is full, it's like a big load has come off my back.
Aloha.
I talk to people. I mingle with a few people. I see sometimes I don't mingle with anyone. I go and visit my mum's grave and pond and sit for a bit. All depends on traffic time in Sydney. If I'm trying to beat school zones, then I leave quick. Allah. If I feel like it's one of those days where I've come, khalas, I've lost it, I'm stuck, traffic's going to get me, I'll go and visit some graves. And it brings me back to reality, bro. It's not just a job I do. It's my love, what I do. It's something that I'm going to. It's my role play every day. I'll leave from there, I'll go back to the mosque, I'll park the cars up, jump in my car, head home, take me 30 minutes, 35 minutes to get home. As I'm heading home and as I'm heading out back from the cemetery, I'm already uploading my videos.
Wow.
People say, why? I'll tell you why. My content is not like other people's content where it can wait and I can bring it out like, you know, podcasts in a week or two or a month. This deceased may need that one dot right there and then to save him before the torment starts. The quicker I can get that video out,
Allah.
The quicker someone sees it and makes a sincere dua for that person, the quicker he may have the torment alleviated from him in the grave. Why should I do it in 2 weeks later when the guy could have been suffering in the grave for 2 weeks already And then subhanAllah, one dua, Allah takes it. Amen. Why not do it right there and then? Al-an. So if you tub, al-an now. Tub now. Don't tub in 2 weeks. Amen. So when you want to make the dua, make it right now. That's why I try to upload as much as I can as I'm driving. I'm not going to say as I'm driving because it's illegal, but any chance I get.
Yeah.
Once I get home, I basically just on the move again, man. I go downstairs to my gym. I do another workout.
So you train twice a week?
Yeah,
a day?
I'll do another workout, like something just to, or I'll get on a skateboard. I'll go up and down. I'll ride the skateboard doing just askar.
Oh.
By then it's 5 o'clock, 4:35, pondering.
Do you answer all your messages and phone calls?
Most of them, yeah. I return every call.
Wow.
Some of them look, a lot of them are sometimes, they hurt because.
What kind of advice do you get? What kind of calls do you get?
We're coming just now in the car. And the brother sent me a message, please, brother, my grandfather's in hospital. I need your advice. Do I turn off the machine? I rang him straight away. And I said to him, Akhi, all right, is your grandfather alive because of the machine? Or is he still got some fight in him? I said, ask the nurses, the doctors, if they turn the machine off, is he dead? So the machine's only physically working everything. Or has he still got some, even if it's 1%? Of poof in him, poof, push, puff, then leave it on. And that's the advice you give because that machine could aid him to get a bit stronger to keep going again. But if he's dead clinically and that machine is just preserving him, then the machine's not doing.
Give us your top three phone calls you've copped that were life-changing.
I'm about to kill myself right now. I want you to tell the world that I tried my hardest.
Muslim.
Yeah.
Allah.
I tried my hardest to make it work. Tell my parents I tried hard to please them. And brother, what are you doing, man? Khalas. Where are you? Where are you? Oh, this is me. Where are you? No. Don't worry. Where are you? Don't worry. I said, brother, listen to me. Listen. Allah loves you. Your soul was created by Allah for a reason. You were named. You were given life. You were this. Every word I possibly can spit out, I'll spit it out. One of the cases, he went ahead and did it.
Wow.
I couldn't say nothing. I couldn't even do a video of it because could you imagine what the parents would do to me and say to me if he spoke to me moments before it and
Allah.
And he wouldn't let me, he wouldn't give in.
Allah. You get those kind of phone calls.
Yeah, bro. So when you end up washing them and you remember they talked to you last, and you remember what they were saying to you, and the people are talking around you, crap. You tell them, shut up, bruh. Straight up, shut up, bruh. You don't know what this guy was going through. He's a kafir. He killed him. You don't know what he was going through. And I don't elaborate any more than that, bruh. I said, let Allah judge him. Let Allah judge him. Yeah, those ones. The typical ones is, he's dying, my dad. He's dying right now. He's dying. He's shahading. He's making shahade. Death. All right of the death, bro.
SubhanAllah.
Some are good ones. Some are bad ones, And then you get all the other ones. My son's mucking up.
I need the undertaker to put him in the grave.
I don't want this guy to marry my daughter. This, that. And I got people who, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, it's good that people think of me that way, that I could help them. But sometimes I need to help myself. I try my hardest. I try not to let anything go. But I'm human too, And I keep doing it because I know, like I told you in the car, this life is temporary. As exhausted as I feel, I think to myself, if the angel of death took my soul, now I'm tired because I'm working for Allah. I'm exhausted, Ya Allah. I can come to Allah and say, Ya Allah, I'm exhausted because all my efforts were for you. I'm not building a house. In this world, I'm not trying to gain stocks and shares. I'm not stressed about that. I'm stressed because of the ummah. If I can be that 1% or 0% of the Prophet's thinking and what he did, I'm happy with that. He carried the whole ummah on his back.
What a great concept. We deal with a lot of youth at 18, 20 to 30. All they want to do is hustle, bro. All they want to do is build that house, build the better car.
Yeah, we were all youth once and we all had these, things. And it's very hard to tell a youth, just think of the akhirah, not the world, because they're young and the world is at their feet and it's all good and it's all well, but keep it halal.
Ameen.
Because halal will be doom. Ameen. Halal lasts.
Ameen.
That's all I tell them. I'm not going to tell them I want you in the mosque and this. No. Eventually, if Allah wills it, He's going to bring you closer. But just have the good heart.
Yeah.
Have the good intention.
Good character.
Good character.
Allah barik feek, bro. May Allah bless you. I know we're on a very short time scram. May Allah bless you for coming today and doing the podcast. Man.
We could talk forever.
Yeah, Allah, we can.
You know, the whole thing was half an hour only. what's half an hour in Melbourne? Half an hour is an hour and a half with the Safi brothers. Look, I love these, man. We cry, we reflect, we ponder, we soften our hearts.
Amen.
And, you know, one thing out there to all the youth out there, everyone in general, you know, social media, and we started off with that, social media is a two-edged
sword.
It can cut you or it can help you. It can be bad for you, it can be good for you. And why? I'll tell you why. It's how you use it. If you use it for negativity and badness, then I'll tell you something. When you've left this earth, and it's happened a lot, those posts that you posted that were a negativity, that were a bad, not, let's say, not something that when you die you want it to continue, is still continuing. You can't, digital era, you can't erase it anymore.
Amen.
What comes out of here, it's always going to be out there. Yeah. Maybe and Allah may forgive and afik, but the world we live in, and we've seen some things happen in our community where we need some more people who, we need people to be smarter out there.
Amen.
Hold your emotions in.
Yeah, more conscious. Amen. Conscious of what's conscious going
on. And shki hammakla Allah.
Amen. Ewallah.
Allah can only do it. No one can do anything for you except Allah wants it to happen for you.
Amen.
We know the AF, everyone in the world went against you and Allah's with you, no one can hurt you. And if everyone in the world was with you and Allah is against you, then forget it, you're weak.
Well, one thing I want to highlight with you, mashallah, like, and the same with Ahmed, mashallah, that when you look at a situation, like you mentioned that person that committed suicide, it's the judgment, the one-eyed view of this guy's going to hellfire, but you haven't tasted what I spoke to this guy, this kid about. Just looking things in different perspective. I think our community lacks that.
My mum, Allah yarhamah, Hajji Nidal, was a very merciful person. You couldn't hurt her. She would take every dollar in her pocket to give to someone. That was my mum, and I'd go, what are you doing? You know, someone came to her house, she'd go buy a $5 orange juice just to please them.
Allah.
But she wouldn't drink. And my mum taught me these traits, Allah yarhamah. And I'm merciful to people because I'm tolerant. The Prophet was tolerant. The Prophet was tolerant to everyone. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the janazah went past him and the sahaba said to him, but he's a Jew. He said, but isn't he a soul created by Allah? We don't stand, because he stood. We don't stand for the deceased. We stand for the creator of that soul.
Amen.
He had rahmah. He was rahmani to the alameen, to mankind.
Amen.
So us being the ummah of Muhammad, why aren't we rahmaniyin to mankind too? Not just to Muslims, to everyone.
Amen.
Because every single person out there is a potential Muslim.
Amen.
But if we shut the door and have these attitudes that we're having, how do we bring people to Islam? We're not the best amongst people in the sense of favored on media. We're always backpedaling, right?
Yeah.
But why don't we start showing people that we're actually good people, not just good people when it comes to business because I want to make money out of you, but good people in general, as our character, as the Prophet's character was. وَمَا كَانَ خُلُقُهُ إِلَّا الْقُرْآنِ He was خُلُق was Qur'an. His manners were the Qur'an. That's why I read that book. Don't just read it in Ramadan. Everyone's on these Qur'an challenges now in Ramadan. But brother, what about after Ramadan? Do we only live for 1 month of the year? Our deen is 365 days a year. Fajr is every day.
Amen.
And Allah.
So I have this thing I grew up where, you know, it doesn't matter what part of what sect of Islam you came from. I still love you as my brother. You know why? Because somewhere inside, at the fitrah of us is to love each other. Because I always remember when there's kids and babies together, they get it along.
Is that a way?
Because there's no politics in it.
Yeah.
And so I don't like politics. I don't get involved. Because I always remember the ayah, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Only the one who comes to Allah with a pure, sound heart. So who knows your heart? Who knows your heart? Allah knows our hearts. He's the maker of the heart. So why should I judge anyone? Like I told you, some of these profiles following me or liking my stuff, ayyazu billah, are like, in my head's like, what the hell? But hey, I'm not the judge. Allah's the judge. This could be the turning point. They could become better and far ahead than any of us in this room combined.
Ameen. Allah will praise his Allah.
You never know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can.
Don't ride anyone off, brother. Ameen. Ameen. Don't ever ride anybody off out there. Ameen. Salam to the guy on your right and your left and in front of you. It doesn't matter what part of the country he came from. The Prophet's last sermon, none of you are better than each other. The black, the red, the yellow, we're all brothers to each other.
Ameen.
There's nothing called tribalism and nationalism in our religion.
Ameen.
And that's our biggest problem. Is nationalism.
I mean.
And this culture. Yeah. And this is our downfall of our ummah.
Yeah, I'm right and everyone else is wrong.
Allah protect us.
Go to the cemetery. Go back to the cemetery and read the names. And they all came from different parts of the world.
Oh Allah.
And some prayed with their hands here, some here, some here. But guess what? They've all gone back to one common denominator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've all gotten through death. Who's going to judge you now? That sect, that sheikh, that mosque, are they all going to judge you? No. Allah is the judge.
Ameen.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon us.
Appreciate you coming down.
Thank you.
Allah, but it's always good conversation with you.
You just gave me a big boost again.
Allah khalina yakbar.
I was thirsty, dehydrated.
Allah very fig. Guys, jazakum Allah khair for watching. Please, 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 if you have any questions for Brother Harachi, please put them in the comment. Please like and share. It's very important. Inshallah, we'll push the channel, inshallah, so we can get more content. Alhamdulillah, we're getting a lot more international audience and also international guests. So, alhamdulillah, we've reached an amazing height, and inshallah, we're going to hit higher heights so we can get more amazing content like Brother Harachi on, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair for watching. May Allah bless you. May Ramadan be full of blessings for all of you. Thank you very much for watching. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.